Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
don't
you
know
we're gonna have a solar-topia.
We started to burn too many things we found. That's the wonderful Dar Williams singing with the legendary Pete Seeger and the great David Burns, who wrote the lyrics to that song, except for the word solar-topia, which I wrote. The song won a Grammy on the Grammy-winning Tomorrow's Children album from Appleseed Records. We are back with another hour with the Green Power and Wellness Show. Have three spectacular guests, and we're going to be talking about elections, election theft, and election machinery this hour with the great Bob Satrakis from Central Ohio, John Brakey out in Arizona, and Ray Lutz here where I am in sunny Southern California, where it's warm in the daytime and cold at night. Well, we had another round of primaries, the most important one, of course, being in Ohio. And we've also had some incredibly important steps forward in terms of electronic machinery, voting and so on. It's been a, I have to say, you know, the Donald Trump show continues to get increasingly insane. The clown show with Rudy Giuliani and Donald Trump, I mean, I think if you wrote a political novel and describe exactly what happened with these guys, no one would believe it. I mean, it's just utterly insane. It gets wilder and wilder, and it now appears, and this is, we're starting to get into serious territory here. Frank Rich has written a piece about it. It's out there. It appears that the 130 grand that they paid Stormy Daniels, who I think would make a great president, actually. Stormy Daniels is quite entertaining. I haven't looked at her porn videos. I will try at some point, but she is pretty smart, and her lawyer is spectacular. And it now appears that some of the money that, or all the money that they paid her, came from Russians. I mean, I wonder if they paid her in rubles. You know, it's quite astounding. It gets deeper and deeper. I did read, and everyone should read, there's an interview with a GOP, a Republican, Karl Rove type, who claims that if the election were held now, the Republicans would hold the House of Representatives. I mean, we cannot underestimate the ability of the idiot Democrats to blow this election. The Democratic National Committee continues to try and put corporate right-wing candidates into slots where progressives are doing quite well. You know, the DNC is a totally corporatized Clintonista operation. If it can be blown in the fall, they will do it. And you know, I have read this morning also that Sheldon Adelson has promised to put in $30 million to hold the House for the Republicans. And I'm sure that's just the tip of the iceberg. The Koch brothers have committed $400 million. And, you know, it is not in any way, shape, or form a done deal that the Democrats are going to take the House in the fall, or that it's even, that they're even worth backing. But that's something we're going to have to discuss further. Bob Satrakis, are you with us?
I'm with you, Harvey.
All right. So, Bob, you're in Central Ohio. John Brakey, you're in Arizona. Ray Lutz, you're in Southern California. We're going to start with Bob. Bob has to leave and after a half hour or so. And he also is on ground zero at probably the most important of all the primaries that's happened so far. Bob, can you tell us what happened in the Democratic gubernatorial primary this past Tuesday?
Well, Richard Cordray won, despite his, you know, A rating from the NRA, which Kucinich made a large issue with. But again, what's more interesting is Kucinich came under heavy, heavy attack from the neocons, all sorts of outside money in the Columbus Dispatch, because he doesn't believe in violating international law. He doesn't believe in using the U.S. military, which is at the crux of neocon philosophy. You know, the whole PNAC, Project for New American Century, is to use the U.S. military as hired thugs to remove sovereign heads of state and destabilize whole regions, making it easy places like Libya, Syria, Iraq for jihadists to run amok. So, of course, they painted Kucinich, one of the great figures for peace, who proposed the Department of Peace as, responsible, with Assad for killing, babies with gas. So none of the U.S. actions in Iraq, which Kucinich stood bravely against in 2003, one of the only white Democrats in Congress that was willing to go out and organize. He actually had a rally here in Columbus, and I spoke there, and the only two people who would endorse it were the Natural Law Party of Transcendental Meditation and the Green Party. So he came under one of the most bitter propagandistic campaigns from essentially the neocons associated with Hillary Clinton in the Democratic Party. It was classic propaganda a la Orwell. It was sort of, Kucinich worked with Rand Paul. Now, the key thing is they won't tell you what he worked with Rand Paul on. Like not torturing people. So, right. Or the Patriot Act, violating the U.S. Constitution. So it was really one of the most brutal campaigns, vicious propagandistic campaigns I'd ever seen against a man with a tremendous record as being an environmentalist and a progressive.
Well, of course, Dennis was a state rep, a state senator, for one term, and in that term he helped us defeat the radioactive waste dump that had been proposed for Ohio. So he was essentially crushed in the primary by Richard Cordray, who's a corporate Democrat. Cordray is now going to run against Mike DeWine, who has a long history. He was senator, state auditor, I guess, attorney general. State attorney general, now running for governor. He's had just about every office in the state. What jumped out at me very disturbingly in the Ohio primary, and this is something we're all going to have to look at, is that the turnout in the Republican primary was a couple hundred thousand voters or 150,000 voters more than in the Democratic primary. And that bodes really ill for the Democrats getting their state house, or way more importantly, holding Sherrod Brown's Senate seat. Bob, what do you think about that?
No, in part of it, I mean, when you nominate Cordray, I mean, who I know, and again, a sort of a Clinton corporatist Democrat, won't come out against fracking. Won't come out, for legalization of marijuana, nothing that energizes the base. I mean, but he's really the classic, watching paint dry candidate. Doesn't have any grassroots, but what he had was the Democratic Party organization and the sample ballot and the ability to skirt all of the issues at the grassroots level that actually pulls people out from, the Community Bill of Rights, where people are demanding as part of back to local rule, clean air, clean water, and the right to breathe that air and water without fracking water or pollution, polluted air in it. So all those issues are off the table for him. In fact, as Attorney General, as interim Attorney General, he's the one that allowed home rule to go down and didn't really challenge it, a corporate position that these non-legal fictions known as corporations should have the right over the local communities to beat back any type of zoning that would keep fracking out.
God, and the question is now, you know, Sherrod Brown, who is worth defending.
And I actually, even though I'd been the Green co-chair of this state, I actually pulled a ballot and voted for Kucinich. And the only other Dem I really voted for was Sherrod Brown. I think it's a very important race.
Yeah, and he got, in the primary, he got 150,000 votes fewer than the combined Senate candidates on the Republican side. And so,
Cordray was, when the Democratic Party leadership in the state is, you know, dedicated to going with corporatist, centrist Democrats. I mean, the one claim to progressivism was the, you know, a consumer protection from Cordray and his connection to Senator Warren. But on most stuff, you know, he's going to head to the middle and camp out there. And there's going to be a not very exciting race between him and Mike DeWine, which could bring down Sherrod Brown. And that would be a tragedy because Sherrod Brown is a progressive and is a progressive populist.
Terrible. It was terrible. And before we get to John and Ray and the whole question of gerrymandering and the electronic voting machines, I do want to mention the New York Times ran a piece today. There's a young woman named Crooks, C-R-O-O-K-S, who got the uncontested Democratic nomination for a state a House seat in Toledo. I mean, here's one you couldn't make up. This young woman grew up in Toledo. And she went to work in New York City. She was working in Trump Tower. And one day, as she was getting on or off the elevator, Trump accosted her, shook her hand, wouldn't let go, pulled her forward, kissed her on the cheek, and then tried to kiss her on the lips. This woman was 22 years old from Toledo, Ohio. Donald Trump in Trump Tower basically assaulted her sexually right next to an elevator. He's lucky he didn't grab her where he said he grabbed women all the time. And she's incensed. And she's now running. She's now the Democratic nominee for this House seat out of Toledo. It's a Republican seat. Trump carried the district by 22 points. But, Bob, you might want to take a look at this woman in that race. It's in the New York Times today. It's an astonishing story. And there you go. So you might want to recruit her to become a Green as well as a Democrat. Her name is Rachel Crooks. Check it out. Okay, so Bob Patrick, we got John and Ray, two great activists here. Bob, you are leading the charge on both electronic ballot images and on gerrymandering in the state of Ohio. So if you don't mind, Ray and John, I'm going to stick with Bob for another couple of minutes here, because one thing that did pass in Ohio overwhelmingly was a referendum on gerrymandering. Can you tell us the nature of this referendum, and then we'll go to John and Ray?
Yeah, it was the it's not real real competitive gerrymandering. This was okay. The Democrats get to be in on it. One of the people from the state house who's going to be appointed to the board, if one of the two Democrats says yes, gerrymandering goes through. So in the sense of what political science love, compactness, totally competitive, all the districts being equal, that's not the deal that was cut here. The deal that was cut here was to make the district safe for incumbents of both parties. It was a bipartisan deal that would give the Democrats a little better break on gerrymandering at the state house. But a lot of these districts will still be safe.
Does it affect congressional districts or just the state districts?
Well, they had already passed gerrymandering, really, with the support of Governor John Kasich. And essentially, the model the legislature passed for congressional gerrymandering, which destroyed this complete Republican dominance, which would have never held up in court, where essentially they dense-packed a couple black districts in Cleveland and Columbus. You know, the state has 16 congressmen. It should be 8-8. Instead, it's 12 Republicans to 4 Democrats. So they created this model where you have a board of 5 people. 3 will be the dominant party, the Republicans. Of the 2 Democrats, one of them has, in the minority party, has to side and go along with the gerrymandering. So the Democrats will do a little better. You know, I'm anticipating kind of instead of 8-8, you know, they might do 10-6 instead of 12-4, which is the current Republican domination. But it doesn't require for them to create competitive districts where independents or third-party people would have some impact on. They're not really mandated to have competitive districts. It just cuts a better deal somewhat for the incumbents and frees up some seats for Democrats. I mean, what you really need is 16 competitive seats. They're not doing that.
Wow. Now, will this have any impact on the upcoming election, or can we expect 12-4 again this fall?
Well, I don't know how, you know, I don't know how they do it before the primary. This notion was that this would take effect probably in 2020. I tried to raise a small amount of money primarily for expert witnesses to challenge gerrymandering under state law, which they did in Pennsylvania and in a few other areas, because many people argue that the Ohio districts are about 50% worse than any of the other bad districts. I mean, this is a purple state, a battleground state that should be 8-8, and it's 12-4. So, this should not affect the fall elections, which are already underway, but should take, come along with the 2020 census and with that congressional election.
So we can expect 12-4 again from Ohio this fall?
Under the existing, unless something happens. I mean, people are watching the 12th district. What some people are afraid of is the suburban Republicans in, you know, Gahanna and Reynoldsburg and Pataskalov may be so appalled by Donald Trump that they desert, you know, the safe Republican districts that were once held by people like Pat Tiberi. So that's one thing to watch, is how much has Trump alienated the suburban middle-class Republicans, particularly women.
John Brakey and Ray Lutz, have you guys followed the gerrymandering in Ohio and in other states? Ray, what do you got to say?
Well, they can you hear me? This they did the similar thing in California in terms of, I think it went to sort of an independent commission, though, not the same kind of thing they did there. And it definitely did change things here in the state. I mean, it flipped over to all Democrats running the state with the Republicans really having no power for state issues. And it really has improved things. We used to have for months or maybe even years, you know, the budget impasses where we had to go on script notes and there was no money for the state. It was a mess. And
right.
the business community was saying, look, we're losing like $1 million a day because we can't get the budget through. Well, after they did this the redistricting with an independent committee, it really changed the, you know, the balance of power here. And it sounds to me like in Ohio, things might improve just a little bit, but it doesn't sound like the kind of redistricting that I think people, a lot of them, were hoping for.
Or I recall, by the way, that Bob and I co-authored a piece when California was paying people in script that they consider paying people in pot, since pot was was abundant in the state and had a lot greater value than script. But I don't think that was taken too seriously. Ray, John, you're in Arizona. What's happening with gerrymandering in Arizona?
Well, we had our last redistricting was done by an independent commission, and it just got down and ugly and dirty. And, we're in better shape in this state than we were when it came to districts than we were 10 years ago. And, of course, an upcoming battle is coming again. And they're still battling about the last plan. But it's just insanity what's going on with gerrymandering across the country. And that's why it's so important. You know, when I'm out there talking about the three things that we have to worry about, you know, one is, you know, election fraud, folks, is real. Two, the new Jim Crow is voter suppression, done now also by, you know, psycho-targeting, micro-targeting, using the voter database, alternative facts. But the big one of the three is, of course, gerrymandering, and that's why it's so important that people like Ray, Bob, me, you, Harvey, and a number of the people who are frontline people fighting this battle, who really are good social justice gadflies, you know, are out there challenging the system. You know, Bob, thank you for the mandamus that you did in Ohio. I know we're waiting on decision, but and you might want to, you know, a little later explain a little bit of that case since you're.
Well, let's do that, John. Let's jump to
go ahead
here. He's got to go, and I wanted to get this this case explained before I do. Though I was reminded of you, John, because you're in Arizona. There was a guy on Fox News who defended torture. Literally, he said this on Fox News. He defended using torture because, quote, it worked on John McCain. So we'll come back to that. But in the meantime, Bob, tell us about the lawsuit and the legal battles over the electronic ballot images that you're conducting in Ohio.
Well, it was John's being way too modest. It was his idea. And he's done this in other states, particularly recently in Alabama, and he's been fighting this battle in Arizona. So, he came to me on this, and even when I tried 2 years ago, when we tried to get him to turn on the security features. So I was accused of impugning the election integrity of the Ohio system. I'm thinking, you know, no, that was already done in the 2004 election theft. I mean, I'm trying to restore, confidence in the election system. But really, we filed a writ of mandamus, and John knows because he provided a very good affidavit from his knowledge of the ballot images. John is, ran a whole campaign nationally pointing out that, you know, they actually count the ballot images. When you're using digital scanners, it's not the marked ballot they're counting the ballot images, and that the machines, particularly the ES&S ones, come with audit logs for adjudication if there's any dispute. And they automatically save these ballot images if there's any question about, you know, problems with the paper ballot that was marked. And, of course, this is required under federal law, which had been adopted by the state of Ohio. So what we're trying to do through a mandamus, and John also lined up an expert witness for us, Professor Ryan. The stuff we've learned, and I'm sure John will talk about this one when I'm gone, and he's still on the air, is that, you know, you have to use a code to destroy the stuff. You have to take a conscious act. And, of course, the Kucinich people are all up in arms because it was Cuyahoga and Franklin County, two Democratic counties with the most votes in the state, that both decided not to save the digital ballot. And also,
so you're
in the
saying,
long
you're
run,
that in these two Democratic counties, the election officials who had the option of flipping a switch that would give them ballot images that they can refer to and even use to count the election, they have chosen not to flip that switch, and you have had to go to court to require them to preserve ballot images? Is that
what Yeah, to do what the machine does by default. And I'm sure John's going to fill you in. I was in Franklin County with John, who argued vigorously when they were telling him why they couldn't let the machine operate as it was designed to operate. And also he went up with Steve Caruso to Cleveland. But it's really hard to imagine two counties, both controlled by Democrats, fighting harder not to save ballot images that are there to ensure transparent and open elections.
It's astounding. Are you in court now trying to require these election precincts to require the ballot images? Has it taken
well, the writ of mandamus, which is argued all on paper, was the quickest way to get it there, is before the Ohio Supreme Court as we speak. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, I mean, these are one of these things where you can't figure out how possibly they could say, don't let the machine save the ballots. It's the federal law. We've adopted that federal law. Let them put in a destruction code and get rid of ballots instead of having a way to adjudicate and create a fair election by having a backup to the paper ballots, which you know about the paper ballots in Ohio, Harvey. Remember when we asked for them after 2004 and 58 counties said they destroyed accidentally all of them or most of them?
Well, I think a 58 coffee urn spilled on the ballots in all 58 counties. Isn't that what happened?
Yeah, and that was the tragedy in Holmes County when 20,000 ballots were destroyed because of a large craft of coffee in the voter vault was broken.
So, and then there were goats that ate them, I think. You must have seen the written arguments from the election boards. Why do the election boards say that they have to destroy or not even retain? What's their argument? What's their argument for not retaining?
Well, John can speak to that. A statewide candidate for governor of the Green Party has no standing. There's no law that compels. You'll love this one. This is my favorite, perhaps. John Houston, that has done more than any man in America to purge voters, who's racked up big numbers, 1.1 million between the 2008 and 2012 election of purging Ohio voters. Another over 1 million, 50,000 between 2012 and 2016. A man that has asserted his right as Secretary of State to purge over a million voters in the last two election cycles, purging them when they're only, Harvey, haven't voted in the last two federal elections. This man claims he has no authority to order people to turn on the security features and to save the ballot images. On the other hand, he's massively active and has this authority he's claimed for themselves to destroy democracy in Ohio, to purge poor voters, to purge Latino and Latina voters, to purge black voters.
God. Well, why did the election board argue that they shouldn't have to retain these ballots?
Well, John was there when they thought they have special software, which, of course, we refuted. And, of course, in the affidavit, you know, we would argue we have proof that what they were saying is counterfactual. So you should ask this to Mr. Brakey, who barged into Cuyahoga County. But he had already called. And so essentially, they're claiming that we're destroying the whole election by having the machines do what they were designed to do. I mean, our best witness is called the ES&S manual. We refer constantly to the machine manual, show that their destruction codes to destroy the images takes far more effort than to simply let the machine do what it naturally does and save the ballot images.
Yeah, but you know, if you just jump in your images. Hold on, John. If they save the ballot images, we might have an outbreak of democracy. I mean, we can't have that. Sorry. Okay, Bob. I know you got to go. Is there anything else you want to throw in before you run?
No. John Brakey can fill you in. He had a good time in Ohio. He learned about Ohio politics. So John.
Bob Fitrakis, thanks as always. Your work is spectacular. And sorry about Dennis. And I hope to God we don't have to be sorry about Sherrod Brown in the fall. But can you give us, real quickly, why do you think the Republican turnout in the primary was so much higher than the Democrats?
Well, you would have had to see the commercials here. Now, the commercials involve a heavy amount of, you know, I'm a born-again Christian and, you know, I'm sticking to my guns and, you know, Larry Householder, the man running the far right, alt-right of the Republican Party, was shooting up TVs with shotguns and riding three-wheel bikes with his son because he's going to drain the swamp and the Democrats are going to eat his dirt. The Republican, you know, went into the swamp, really swamp people, and really pushed every button about Christianity and building a wall and really excited the base. On the Democratic side, Mr. Cordray was boring the hell out of people in an unprecedented way.
All right. Well,
and again, thanks a lot. It's a privilege to be on with Ray. I'm a big fan of his. And John Brakey, who I think is doing some of the most important work in America right now. So thanks.
All right, buddy. We'll have you
Thank
back,
you.
Of course, Bob. Keep the faith there in Ohio. And I assume you're rooting for LeBron, so we'll follow that, too. All right. So let's turn now to John Brakey and Ray Lutz. John in Arizona, Ray in Southern California. John, you want to carry on here and tell us more, and then Ray, if you'll jump in.
Yeah, you bet. Let's wrap up this part, and I'll tell you a little more than getting to Ray, because Ray has a fascinating story and very important, and me and Ray go back a ways now, you know, on these ballot images, and he's very knowledgeable about them. But in Ohio, what happened to the blue wave? There's no candidate out there to bring him in. I mean, you know, you got a Democratic Party that, you know, only worked for, you know, corporate candidates. And they're not really opening up and letting people come in because you can see that in the numbers. I mean, they were predicting there might be a 30% turnout, but I don't think that was the number. You know, if you look at, I think probably it's closer to 25% maybe. And so a lot of people stayed home. And this is something that very fearful of is that maybe a lot of people are staying home because maybe they don't believe elections are real in Ohio. Because, you know, some of the things that we found were very disturbing. You know, when I go into an election department, before I go in there and start asking questions, I already know the answers because I've phoned in and I've picked people apart. I do my homework. And I love to get in these election departments and meet good people because a lot of them really are good people. So I kind of get in there and hang out at the counter, working people, you know, asking questions. And then I get into the back room with the big dog, okay? And usually I find they love to play games. Like when me and Bob went into Franklin County and they're telling us, oh, we love ballot images. They're so good. In fact, we would like to get rid of the paper ballots and just have the images. And I go, no, you can't do that. And then I knew they were destroying because I had contacted them previously and on a lower level and found that out. But I wanted to go eyeball to eyeball. And so then all of a sudden they changed the story and they say, well, our DS-850 doesn't make images. We have a bridge system. And
oh, God.
Craziness. And, you know, Ray will know that because
a digital scanner makes a picture, right, Ray?
That's right, and they should be able to easily store them, and that's what the federal law says. They have to keep electronic records forever, even though they get to destroy the paper. You know, if we get – this is really a key thing that John has homed in on here, because if we get these ballot images to be saved and made public to the public to be able to look this over, then, you know, these slimy election officials can't do anything. At least not to the central tabulator. There's a lot of other rigging that can go on. But at least to those vote totals, they're not going to be able to do it the same way they are now, especially in Ohio, where they have all these electronic machines and have fixed the elections apparently for years. And, you know, Michael Vu, the guy that we're fighting here, he was running the Kerry versus Bush race in 2004. And, you know, that was the one where the Diebold executive said they're going to deliver Ohio to the Republican Party, and they did. Well, so here, I don't know if you want to switch topics. Well, let's finish off with what he's talking about first.
Well, let me just wrap
up. Why do these guys want to get rid of the ballot images? What's the incentive?
I think it's just too much scrutiny over what they do. They have been saying for years that there's no reason to be of concern of these elections that go on. The reality is that these things are a complete mess, and they're working the numbers at the last minute through here. They call it a reconciliation process, and we're saying, well, what do you do in the reconciliation process? It, basically, they just fix up the numbers so that they all add up without actually having a basis for it. And if they have the ballot images, they're not going to have that freedom anymore. And that means they're going to have to actually do some work. I think that's
the reason. Ballot images, can of worms, because they are transparent. It is what the machine counted. And when you think about it, how can you destroy the documents that you just counted? That's what ballot images are. That's what the machine counted.
You would think
it'd be worse. They denied it in Cuyahoga County. They destroyed the ballot images. But in the affidavit on the very end, they admitted, I couldn't believe this, that they're saving the write-in images because that's convenient for them. And you cannot pick and choose what documents you're going to save under federal law. You save everything that's in the chain of custody.
Oh, jeez. So these guys, let's get this straight. You got a voting machine. The voter comes in, they get a ballot. They a paper ballot. They fill out the paper ballot. They slide the paper ballot into the computer. The paper ballot goes through the computer, which takes the image, a picture of the ballot, and then the ballot itself goes into a bin and is preserved. And then the computer has the capability of tallying the election based on the image of the ballot. Is that correct?
That's right. That's correct.
And these guys don't want to save the ballot images?
Because the ballot images are a public record. The document that you filled out, the ballot, is a unique document. And you know what? This is really a blessing, having the ballot and the image, because now we got two documents to help protect the integrity of the election. The one that you voted on, and the other one is a public record that could be put online by precinct, and anybody with a few people getting together could verify a precinct, could verify election by taking their laptop, plugging it into their flat screen TV, and just having some clickers and some neighbors and putting two teams together. You could count 25 ballots every minute, a ballot race now, just one race. And you could work through 800 ballots lickety-click real quick to verify that if elections are real or not. And if you want to turn voter turnout up, you know, the problem in Ohio and other parts of the country, people don't realize. What is the largest political party in this country? It's people who don't vote. 106 million who believe that Mark Twain was right when he said If elections made a difference, they wouldn't let us do it. And maybe that is the big problem that's happening in Ohio. Because, you know, I'll say this. In Virginia, we had a blue wave. And Alabama, we saw it, okay? But it didn't happen in Ohio. And after being there, the time I spent, the 10 days I spent there, I can understand that there's no excitement going on because the system is rigged and people know it. And Bob and people like me, over years, you know, you keep showing it and proving it. People start getting frustrated and saying, why am I doing this? I'm really voting and, hurting myself. I don't want to participate. And people are doing that. And that's a fearful part of what's happening. And that's why what Ray, me, and others are doing are important is to get people back into the game by proving that elections are real and your vote really does count.
Well, in the country as a whole.
Let me give you an example ahead, when it really does help. This recent election in Virginia where it was just a one-vote difference, and you looked at that ballot and you could see that it would have been possible for someone to take a pencil or a pen and just – add another bubble on there and then invalidate that vote. And that could have been happened. You see, it's much harder to do that with a ballot image. You can't just pull out a pencil and then have some clown in the back room darken a few ballots up and ruin them so that they actually are overvoted then, and then they're not included in the count. The ballot images are much, much harder for somebody like that. I'm not saying it can't be done, but it's not just like taking a pencil out and changing it. It's a much harder process, and it's over the head of most people. So they're a lot more reliable, in my view, than the ballots themselves. And that's why you really want those saved. And it eliminates that pull a pencil out and change the vote plan.
Well, what percentage of the voting machines in the United States today produce this system producing a ballot image and saving a paper ballot? What percentage?
50% of all the optical scanners in the country have it now, digital and optical.
What do you think? Maybe 20% of the ballots at the most are processed this way right now. I would think. Maybe 10 to 20%. What do you think, John?
Not, this whole state, New York, is 100%. You know, California is one of the worst, and you guys are getting ready to change quickly, I guess, next year. But most states, most states have it. Some states only have one county. Maine's 100%. Rhode Island, Virginia, Alabama. I could go on and on. There's Maryland, Michigan is going 100% digital.
Next generation machines are all having these ballot images. So it is going to happen.
Well, John and Ray, will you do me a favor, please, and send me by email a compilation so that we have a running tally of which states and what percentage of the voter, which precincts and so on, have these ballot image machines. Now, obviously, what happened was after 2000, the fiasco, you had the Help America Vote Act. And they put in a whole generation of flippable machines, where elections could be stolen. And that's what happened in 2004 and again in 2016. But now you're saying that there's a changeover, this new generation of machines. We need to be able to track where these machines are, where they're going, and where they need to go. I mean, that's where I've asked
Verified Voting to go ahead on their site. Is to differentiate an optical scanner from a digital scanner, okay? Because there is a big difference.
And okay, well, which do we want?
Digital.
Okay. Yeah, we want the digital. The digital scan was basically a picture of the whole ballot. And also the machines can do a much, much better job of determining what the vote is rather than those really ancient, simplistic the old Scantron type, you were mark a vote or you darken in a bubble. Those just had a very few sensors across the ballot that would detect whether the light was reflecting a lot or not too much off of that darkened bubble. These new ones have a high resolution, maybe 300 dots per inch, and they can really figure it out well.
Well, when I taught in college, I used to give Scantron exams on Scantrons, and at least once every exam, one poor student, you know, was off one or the thing misread. I mean, I never ever got 100% on my Scantron exams, and I'm sure that's the case of with the ballot images. We're talking with John Brakey and Ray Lutz, two of the great experts and activists on getting us to an electronic voting system that actually makes sense. Ray, did you want to jump in with some other stuff? We only got about 15 minutes left.
Just to let you know what's been going on here, of course, Michael Vu was the guy that lost his job from Cuyahoga County after two of his subordinates were convicted of pre-stacking the ballots in a recounting operation. I mean, they had to admit it because the ballots were, you know, like John Kerry, 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 the whole almost half of them, and then all the rest of them were Bush. And, you know, in real life, you never get all the voters for Kerry to come in first and then all the ones for Bush to come in later and they have them divided exactly. So, you know, maybe there's some chance that might happen, but, you know, in real life, this never happened. So they had to admit that, yeah, they actually pre-counted them just to make sure that they would match the numbers because they didn't want to do any extra work if it would happen that there was any variances found. So they had a completely backwards view of what these audit procedures were all about. Well, in the 2016 primary here in San Diego, Michael Vu, now he lost his job from Cuyahoga, came here after only 2 months of not working and got appointed into the position here, a much bigger county than Cuyahoga. In fact, it's a number, I think, six in the nation. It's the second largest county in California after Los Angeles. And San Diego does have these old style, they're paper ballots, but they have the bubble and they have the old style scanners. So they're not the image, the full image, digital image types. And there is supposed to be an audit process here in California, which could be very good if they implemented it right. But what that is they're supposed to choose 1% of the precincts and then hand count the actual ballots and compare that with the computer results. Well, what they've been doing, though, is taking only part of the election, only what they call the semifinal official canvas, which is the election night results. And here in California, unlike many states, we have a very large vote by mail percentage of about over 60% in general. And a lot of them come in late because the rules have been changed so that you can mail it up to 3 days. They can get it up to 3 days after the election day. And you have up to like 8 days to fix up any kind of signature and so forth. So it could be a week or more before they even have them all. Then they have to verify the signatures and then scan them. So if you watch the actual numbers, it can be weeks until the actual count, all those extra ballots have been counted. In the primary, there was 285,000 ballots that weren't counted after election night. And there was only about maybe 300 or 400,000 that were counted before election night. So it was a huge batch. And unfortunately, the media has a tendency to, you know, try to call the elections, you know, horse race style at the end of the night. They don't want to have to wait for weeks. Well, at the end of this night in San Diego, Hillary Clinton, in the early vote by mail ballots, had a 64% lead. So those are the ones that are announced at 8 p.m. You know, as soon as the polls close, they have this announcement. And everyone's going, oh, Hillary Clinton's won by a landslide. But in the other batches of ballots, which are the polling place ballots, that's about 38% of the ballots. And the later vote by mails, which were about 25% of the provisionals, Bernie Sanders won, or it was even in all those. Hillary Clinton did not win. Okay. So then it was the entire rest of the election. It was getting very, very close until it was only about here in San Diego, about 3.75% in her favor. So if that first batch was not quite so much leaning in her favor, then it would have changed the election quite a bit here in San Diego County, not that it would be the whole state, but that may have changed the calculus. Maybe Bernie Sanders wouldn't have given in so fast at the convention. The conventions were held really early this last season. That was another change that was kind of a big mystery. Why did they move them up from September to July? We had no chance to challenge anything. Well, what happened here was Michael Vu decided to not include the later vote by mail ballots, the ones that were a little bit that weren't counted as of 8 p.m. on election night, the ones that came in later, nor the provisionals were not included in the audit process, which is what it says in the election code. Everything's supposed to be part of it, and they only choose 1%. So we said, you need to choose more batches. He declined to do that. And so then we took him to court, and eventually we won. They said that you had to include those extra, it was the 285,000 ballots. They excluded those from the audit. It's just like having the tax men say, we're going to audit you this year, but we're not going to audit anything after August 15th. You know, if you're a fraudster, you just say, well, put all the fraud after August 15th and no one will know. Well, in addition to that, there was this problem with the early vote by mail ballots. Michael Vu originally had these grouped up in what they call batches, 400 ballots in a batch, that they come in, they're mixed precincts, so they're not organized by precinct. And he chose batches. Then as soon as he got our lawsuit, he decided to switch over to precincts. So we had 723 boxes of 400 ballots each in storage. They had to go in with 40 people hired for a week to hand sort through all of these boxes to pull out the ballots that corresponded to the precincts that they had selected. So you know, no one is, you know, you're not supposed to go through this much manipulation before the audit, because well, that means that you can stack them up to try to get them to match.
Well, Ray, here's the question.
And then they didn't match.
Right. Of course they didn't. So the question now we have, and we're running out of time here, I mean, it's fascinating stuff, is do you think that Hillary Clinton was really the legitimate winner of the primary in California in 2016, or did Bernie Sanders win?
Well, we were trying to get to these ballots, at least in San Diego, to confirm that because of all the, and they haven't let us look at them. And this is another reason for the ballot, full ballot images, is that we can have a better chance of getting to those. Even though they preserve the ballots for 22 months, even though we have an official contest filed, we still, up to this point, have not been able to look at even one ballot. And they also applied whiteout tape to these. Now, think that, I mean, from what I can tell, yeah, she probably did win. But I think that it would have been, in San Diego County, it would have been possibly a lot closer than what...
Okay, so listen, John Brakey and Ray Lutz, we are in deep stuff. How do people get a hold of you guys to follow this and to jump in and to help with this?
Well, I'm at citizensoversight.org. If anybody goes there, they can sign up to volunteer.
Wait. John Brakey first. John, how do people get a hold of you?
AuditElectionsUSA.org is our website. And my email address is John Brakey, Brakey, B-R-A-K-E-Y, just the way it sounds, @gmail.com. And that's probably the best way. And just quickly, is what Ray found is huge. And, you know, was California stolen? No, but 34% of the vote was never checked. And when I canvassed the whole state, every county, and it was shocking to know that they could get away with this, that it looks like it was a stack on the front end, Hillary winning by 64% to 66%. At the precinct, they stripped people, 825,000 provisionals for the whole state of California. Probably 600,000 of them were Democratic. And she only won the precinct by 0.5% average, okay? And then 34% of the vote in the state is never audited. If you're going to steal and you're going to stack on the front end, you push ballots to the back end for you can fraction magic them. That is
okay.
The hotness that's going on.
So what we need to do, guys, Ray Lutz, how do we get a hold of you?
Okay, so at citizensoversight.org, just the way it sounds, people can sign up there. What we're trying to do is is get enough volunteers to cover the top 175 counties in the country, and that's more than 50% of the voters, just to get 175 covered.
Well, let's do
people
it.
Going in
let's get
to
those
watch.
Ballot images. You guys, will have you back. Thanks to the crew in New York. Great show, guys. We'll have you back. There's way more to do.
Okay, thank you.
Keep up your great work, John Brakey, Ray Lutz, and thanks, Bob Patricus. See you next week in Solartopia.